Please stand with me and recite the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read some scripture now. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man and said to him, "Where are you?" That's from Genesis 3, 8, and 9. But when he came to himself, then the second part, but when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your servant, your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son who was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." That comes from Luke 15, verses 17 through 24. Hello. My name, many of you may or may not know who I am, but if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you probably don't know. But my name is Steve Kolkmeier. I'm a proud member of Christ's Cornerstone Church, and I am also a gay Christian. It's an honor to be speaking to you on this special day. It's already been mentioned, but just in case, let me say Happy Father's Day to everyone who is a father, but also to those mothers and other caregivers who have substituted as fathers for children. This talk or sermon is not a Father's Day talk, but I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the day. My assignment, as you already heard, is to speak how I've come to where I am at Cornerstone. To me, that involves two aspects of my life. My Christianity is foremost. My sexuality is secondary and integral part of who I am. As there are two parts of what I consider my story, there are going to be two distinct parts of what I say today. First is an edited portion of an introduction that I wrote as part of a class I took in seminary. The second part is my journey in discovering and, more importantly, accepting my sexuality and integrating it with my Christianity. We all in this room and watching on Facebook and YouTube have our own stories, and that's kind of what we're celebrating this month. The first part, I grew up going to church, and that included going to church Sunday morning for morning worship, Sunday night for an evangelistic service, then later in the week on Tuesday night we were for a prayer meeting, and Thursday night was what was called YPE, I think that stood for Youth Prayer Endeavor. Eventually, the church merged the Tuesday and Thursday night activities into a Wednesday night service called Family Training Hour. Then there was Vacation Bible School and Boy Scouts at church as well. My family just showed up whenever the doors of the church were open and participated in whatever was happening. The denomination was the Church of God from Cleveland, Tennessee. There are more than one kind of Church of God, just so you know. When I was in high school, a bunch of us guys from church would go out and play football in the park every Sunday afternoon. We'd play tackle, we got bloody noses, sprained ankles. We usually lost a shirt or two while trying to keep the defense from tackling us. We played hard, and we were always very tired by the time church rolled around on Sunday night. My parents, mostly my mom, always told me that if you could go play football on Sunday afternoon, you could go to church on Sunday night, no matter how tired you are. The guys who showed up then would sit on the back row of the church and try extremely hard not to fall asleep. I also believed in God and knew about Jesus thanks to the teaching of excellent Sunday school teachers, most of who were women. The denomination had rules for what they called tests of membership. If you did not follow their rules, excommunication was threatened, although rarely enforced. These rules did not make sense to me, and I resisted anything to do with making a commitment to this kind of church. After sitting through many, many altar calls and resistance to God's conviction, I finally graduated from high school and went away to college. It was the providence of God that even in those rules were a form of restraint of the sin that could have occurred in my life. After graduating from high school, I went to college, and of course the one I chose was the flagship university of the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee. There were five or six of us from our church that were going to Lee College. Now it's called Lee University. One of the guys that I played football with us on Sunday afternoons was going to be my roommate. The prevenient or preceding grace of God was at work for me, even though I had rejected God so many times. There were the same rules from the church I attended, but since I was on my own, they did not seem as restraining. Since Mom was not around, it was easier to get around the rules. Gotta love moms, too. The school required us to attend chapel three or four times a week, more altar calls, and more convicting grace. It was not until my sophomore year during a fall convocation the school required us to attend a week-long series of church services that I really made a kind of commitment to Jesus. It was a strange set of circumstances that I now point to that exhibited my newfound faith. There was another altar call, and this time I found my way up to the altar. This is the first time I made any attempt at repentance and still did not really understand what had happened because of this prayer. It was merely, for me, fire insurance because I believed I would go to heaven if I died, but it didn't make a whole lot of changes in my life. After a couple of years in college, I met a girl. We got married. I graduated. We moved to Ohio. I started to teach chemistry in a Catholic high school and went to church. 2 years later, after my daughter Valerie was born, we ended up getting a divorce. I returned to Florida to get another job. More details about this later. It was after returning home that I began to grow as a Christian and began to work in the church. My pastor baptized me, and I poured all my efforts into doing things at the church where my parents were going. I worked with the youth, taught Sunday school, and tried to help the church get more organized. We got a new pastor, and I tried to do things without thinking about what the pastor wanted. We ended up at odds, and because of multiple reasons, including work troubles, I moved to St. Petersburg. After I moved to St. Pete, I went to church for a while but did not really get that involved and drifted farther from God. I was alone and thinking only of what I wanted to do and focusing all my energies on me. I had a teaching job, but that was what it was, a job just doing what I had to do to get along. Any money I made was for me to be used to having a fun time. I was living a life of a prodigal and finally stopped going to church at all. My parents were brokenhearted. I didn't care. I was doing what I wanted. After years of this, I was enrolled in a master's degree class. Something the professor said to me reminded me of an idea that I had earlier in my life. I began to investigate adopting a child. This was the first time in a long time I thought of something besides me. A man from the adoption agency told me about an 8-year-old boy named Chaz. He was available from my house, we set up an appointment at a park near my house. I met Chaz and fell in love. A couple of weeks later, he moved in with me, and 7 months later, he became my son officially. After he had lived with me for 7 months, I began to remember what my Sunday school teachers and pastors taught me as I was growing up in church. I realized that I was going to be responsible in large measure for his eternal soul. I knew that we had to start going to church for him. The little child was leading me. We found Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Seminole, Florida. There were young people at this church, and there was a youth minister. At the beginning, I went to the service and sanctuary, and Chaz went with me for the first few weeks. Then he began to go to Sunday school class while I began to go to Sunday school and church. As I listened to the sermons during this time, I began to learn more about what being a Christian means and began to remember the times that I spent resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit as I grew up. My resistance to this conviction began to weaken. When we had been going to church for months, someone started talking about small groups. I decided that I should go to one for me. The small group I went to had the pastor of the church as a leader. It was through this small group and the time spent with them and the pastor that I learned about the grace of God. I also began to remember about the faith of people like my grandmothers, my parents, and the rest of my family. It was also during this time that I rededicated my life to Christ, but not through any great trip to the altars before, just a quiet learning and growing in the grace of God was showing me day by day. I finally began to repent slowly and surely. I turned from doing things my way to doing things God's way. I felt I had to be rebaptized. After consulting with my pastor, I learned that the United Methodist Church has a service where one could remember your baptism. I felt like I had to do my first works over again, but for me, as an example for my son. I remember my baptism at the beach with my son watching. It was an exciting time in my life. I finally learned that God did not have a list of rules to follow, but he gave us freedom to love him and pursue a personal relationship with his son. It was after I remembered my baptism that growing in my faith began anew. At this point in my of life in my new church, our pastor gave a series of sermons talking about how God spent his time in the Garden of Eden walking and talking with Adam and Eve. I finally understood that what God really created me for is so that God and I can have a personal relationship. I can talk to God and God can talk to me. This realization was when the regeneration and infilling of the Holy Spirit really began. I know that God got along quite well without me, but just like the father in the story of the prodigal, once I turned back to God, God ran to me. I'm still learning a lot in my new life in Jesus. I know that he gave himself to die for me. I know that when he left earth, he sent the Holy Spirit to give me comfort, guidance, and direction. I'm about as far from perfect as anyone can be. I keep making mistakes, but he keeps forgiving me. He is a good friend. I love him and would recommend him to anyone who needs a friend that will stick closer than a brother. As I reflect on my life from the time I remember my baptism until now, I see there has been much growth in my walk and in the relationship I have with God through Christ and the Holy Spirit. The mistakes that I make happen less frequently, but the grace is more abundant daily. Having said all that, the one thing I am convinced that is this had to be of assurance. I spent a long time early in my life worried about whether I'd make heaven or not, but now I know that I will make it there. Not because of anything that I have done, but only because of many, many times God has showered God's grace on me throughout my life. I am also convinced that as I continue to rely on the Holy Spirit, my growing in grace will continue. Part 2. As I was growing up, I had no idea about the idea of sexuality or gender identity at all. The only representation in the media of different sexual orientations were people like Liberace. Those of you who are of an age will remember him. He's rather flamboyant. The other kind of gay person was a person who was a special kind of deviant, and he was usually either incarcerated or killed by the end of the TV show or movie. The media called us queer, and that was a pejorative term. I do not remember seeing anything about same-sex attraction between women. I've also always felt like an outcast. That includes through high school, college, and even adulthood. I began watching over 100 coming out videos on YouTube. As I watched them, I realized that I had much in common with them, even though most of them were under 30 years old. Some of them were very young. One of the things I had in common with them was that I always checked out the men's underwear pictures on packages in the store, worrying as I did, looking at them, that my mom or dad would catch me. I think I had my first crush during third or fourth grade. There's this boy named Marcelo, and he had taps on his shoes. I don't know if y'all remember that, but during PE, he would take his shoes off. He would let me wear them. So I got to wear Marcelo's tap shoes. Then there was a guy in junior high school who convinced a group of us boys that he was a secret recruiter for a special boys' club. I don't know exactly how long this lasted, but it's more than just a little time. There really was no club, but I liked the idea of a club just for boys. When I got to high school, the guys saw me differently, and they bullied me. Brian Fidalgo was one of them. He came into my English class one day and started hitting me on the back of the head. I just let him do it. I didn't know what else to do. I wasn't going to fight. They also didn't like the color socks I wore in PE class. I don't remember what color I wore or what they wanted. I just remember that it was something they wanted me to change or do differently. I never really dated in high school or junior high school. Well, there was Sharon Symington. She was the first girl that I kind of sort of saw. But basically, we just ate lunch together for a couple of weeks. And then I wasn't good at that. And so she ended up breaking up with me. But I did get to go to a different church as a result of that. She did invite me to go to her youth group one time. And that was the first time I went to any church other than the Church of God. Then I went to college. In the summer between my first and second senior year, it took me an extra year to graduate, I decided that I needed to get married. Mind you, I did not have a girlfriend. I just knew that getting married was what everyone expected. My roommate introduced me to the woman I ended up marrying in the days just before the school year started. She was the first girl that I met after my decision to get married. I did get married to her, and I loved her, but I was not good at being married. I think most men would not want to admit it, but I was not good at sex with her, and I could not figure out why. We really were both too young to be married. I never asked, but my ex-wife was more experienced than me in the bedroom. We did have a daughter, Valerie, and you've seen pictures of her already, I think. And as I look back now, I was more in love with the idea of being in love. After 2.5 years, we got divorced. It took me years to get over the loss of my marriage. Again, I think I see now that I was mourning the loss of the idea of being in love. My life continued for a while. I began looking at magazines and watching online videos. With this new exposure to the gay world, this helped me to conclude that I was gay, but I was also a Christian. I tried praying, ignoring, promising God that I would quit looking at the videos on the internet. Nothing changed. I was still the outcast, but now I felt even farther out. God didn't change me. I watched more coming out videos. The more I watched them, the more convinced I became that I am gay. Eventually, I got to the place where I could say out loud, I am gay. But I was still a Christian. I kept looking for help on YouTube and found a much longer video than I usually watched. It was by a lady named Kathy Baldock. And at some point, you're going to see information about her coming on. It's called Untangling the Mess. This video explains the difference between what we who have been part of churches that condemn homosexuality and what the Bible really says. She explained it better than I could, so I urge you to watch it if you're struggling to reconcile your faith with your sexuality. The biggest lesson I learned was that people who wrote the Bible were writing for the people of their time, not necessarily for the 20th and 21st century. We should not take this to mean that we cannot learn from the Bible today, but we should take a holistic approach to Scripture. Now I have accepted that I am Christian and a gay man. I am proud to say that I'm a Christian, and I'm proud to say that I'm a gay man. I have a story. A member of a certain church who previously had attended services regularly stopped going. After a few weeks, the pastor decided to visit him on a chilly night. The pastor found the man at home, sitting before a blazing fire. The man welcomed him, led him to a big chair near the fireplace, and waited. The pastor made himself comfortable, but said nothing. In silence, the pastor watching the leaping flames around the burning logs. After several minutes, he took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth, all alone. Then he sat back in his chair, still silent. The host watched it in quiet fascination. The lone ember's flame diminished. There was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. Soon, the ember was cold and dead as a doornail. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. Just before the pastor was ready to leave, he picked up the cold, dead ember and placed it back in the middle of the fire. He immediately began to glow once more with the light and warmth of burning coals around it. As the pastor reached the door to leave, his host said, "Thank you so much for your visit and especially for the fiery sermon. I shall be back in church next Sunday." This lone ember was me as I was seeking a church that would accept all of me. I was looking for a community that gave me the option to worship Jesus without judgment. I know for a fact that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has guided me throughout my life, even when I didn't know it or understand it. And I found this community when I came to Christ Cornerstone Church. This church has accepted me when I was not very sure what being a Christ follower and gay even meant. I praise God for this body of believers. I mentioned my daughter Valerie earlier. She, along with my son-in-law, have given me 4 grandchildren. 3 girls, Sophia, Claire, and Julia. The 4th one is Carl Richard Grizak IV. Valerie figured out that I'm gay a couple of years ago because of a FaceTime call she made with my grandchildren and me on Father's Day. She saw my rainbow watch band and my colored nails. She did not say anything while the children were involved, but the next Thursday she FaceTimed me with a somber look on her face. I eventually told her I was gay. We ended the call, but then the next day she texted me, "I still love you." I also have a son named Chaz. We talked about him. I adopted him as a single man when he was 8 years old. He's 35 years old now. I told him I was gay 3 or 4 years ago on Christmas. He said, "I know, Dad." I also have a younger brother, Lance. He's ordained in the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee. You may recall this is the denomination I use that is so conservative. I kind of left it for him to figure out that I'm gay by seeing posts on Facebook. He called me a few months ago, and I came out to him. He said that you're still my brother. I know that he thinks being LGBTQ plus is a lifestyle choice, but I still love him anyway. I have cousins that I spent a lot of time with as we were growing up. They're on Facebook too, so I'm sure they may have figured it out also. Crisis Cornerstone Church has given me the opportunity to grow in my faith and also has allowed me to embrace all of who I am. I thank the Lord for all of you, in particular, the counsel and friendship of Pastor Jamie that's helped me more than I can put into words. I would also like to say that there are those of you who are here who are watching by social media that I'm sure that there is someone here who can help you meet Jesus and will help you grow in your faith if you already know him. I'd like to sum up this time by recalling two of the verses that I began this talk with. The two verses from Genesis 3, 8, and 9 have become my life verses. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them and said, "Where are you?" Well, I learned because of these two verses that from the beginning of time, God seeks us, me, you. God wants a personal relationship with us. God wants to walk with us in the cool of the evening and talk with us. God wants it so badly that God gave us Jesus to die for us. In the verses from what we call the story of the prodigal son, we see that the father is the representation of God. The reaction of the father is that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. All it takes is for us to turn around. God is always right there. And God will run to you if you seek him. If you've heard this little talk and would like to turn and learn more about God and how much God loves you, you can reach out to me, the pastor or the deacons, maybe even the person sitting next to you, and someone will be sure to help you. This includes those of you who are watching on Facebook or YouTube. Thank you for your time. May the God of the universe continue to bless you as you continually seek him.